WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
I'm back. That's right. What is up, beautiful people? Al Martin is back in the saddle. It feels so good to be back behind the mic in the friendly confines of Studio S here at WKAR. Yeah, long weekend. I'll talk about my weekend later. It was a crazy weekend when it came to travel plans. But hey, I'm back and I'm ready to talk some sports with you. On today's Current Sports, we will, of course, talk about the blowout that was between Michigan and Michigan State last night in Ann Arbor at Chrysler Center. An outcome that many did not see coming. And Tom Izzo was not a happy man during the post-game press conference. We'll chat it up about that. We will also invite to the show Max Gunn, who is a dear friend of our airwaves. He's now a newly hired broadcast and communication assistant for the Altoona Curve. And I believe I'm pronouncing that right, Isaac. If you can pronounce, you know, Google that for me. But the Altoona Curve is the AA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Max has a new gig. He's going to talk about it live here on our airwaves. Don't want to miss that. Also, a projected starter for the Michigan State football team next season has decided to quit the gridiron. We'll tell you about who that is and why he decided to do so. And I'm even going to open up a bigger conversation when it comes to that story. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, a certain Detroit Pistons great will be honored at halftime of tonight's Lakers and Pistons game. Find out who that is. And Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter, will be making history in a pretty big way. Like she already hasn't done so right in the previous two Olympic Games. We'll bring that story to the phone as well. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of today's Current Sports, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. So much to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we start with that Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball game that took place out in AA last night. Playing for the second time in 9 days, Michigan State went to the Chrysler Center on a two-game win streak. Trending upward, right? Desperate for a win after dropping their last two games. The Wolverines, though, put the hurt on the Spartans. 86-57 is what your final score reads in that one. The Spartans had 21 turnovers. 6 came from Cassius Winston, 5 from Miles Bridges, 4 from shot clock violations. Yes, 4. Gosh, Michigan's Derek Walton Jr. led the game with 20 points. He has been great this year. He also had 8 assists and 5 boards. Mo Wagner, 19 points, 6 boards. And Miles Bridges had 15 points. The 29-point dub for the Wolverines ties for the largest loss in the in-state rivalry with Tom Izzo on the sidelines. We will have more on that game in just a second. Michigan State University offensive lineman Tayo Lukusa, he announced yesterday that he will no longer play for the green and white. He has quit the game of football, telling Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press, quote, "I really haven't been in love with football since I was in high school. It's been a while, probably since I was a sophomore or junior. I went home for Christmas and had a great time with my family up north, just being away from football, doing other things, working out, playing basketball, running. I have been thinking about not playing for a long time. I finally just decided that I'm going to go through with it and kind of weather the storm, whatever it brings," end quote. Now, Lukusa, 4-star recruit last season, appeared in 8 games this past year as a true freshie. He He was projected as the starting right tackle for next season. More on that story later this hour. Michigan State women's basketball looks to win its fourth straight in Iowa City tonight as they take on the University of Iowa. Iowa's Megan Gustafson and Allie Distaroff will try and pierce the MSU defense. Both players currently averaging 16 points or more for the Hawkeyes. Michigan State women's basketball has held opponents to 37.2% shooting from the floor this year. That's the best in the Big Ten Conference. Tori Jankowska, she's a star. The leading scorer in MSU women's basketball history leads the Spartans with 21.6 points per game. No other Spartan averages over 10. Jankowska's ability to put the ball through the net this season is the second best in the Big Ten. Only Ohio State's Kelsey Mitchell averages more points per game with a little over 23. The Michigan women's basketball team will be on the road as well tonight to face the Purdue Boilermakers. Michigan's high-octane offense is third in the Big Ten, is led by the proficient trio of Caitlin Flaherty, Haley Tan, and Kaiser Gondrizik. Each player averaging over 14 points per game as a team. Michigan outscores opponents by 20.4 points per game, trailing only number 3, Maryland. Maryland is so good right now. The Boilermakers currently lead the Big Ten in scoring defense. On average, they only give up 58 points per game. Head coach Kathy George announced that Jesse Ortiz has been named as an assistant coach for the Michigan State women's volleyball program. He is replacing the former coach JT Wenger, who accepted a head coaching position at the University of Texas Arlington. Ortiz is coming from Miami of Ohio, where he helped the Redhawks to an overall record of 66-26 and a 39-9 record in MAC play. Ortiz says that he is very excited, and it has been a dream of his to be tested at the highest level and to learn from the nation's best. After enjoying a 2-game win streak, the Detroit Red Wings fell to the Columbus Blue Jackets last night, 3-2 in OT. Seth Jones delivered the game-winning shot, ripping a slap shot from the slot over the glove of Peter Mrazek. Now, the Wings started out hot. Nick Jensen scoring the game's first goal in under 3.5 minutes. The Blue Jackets would tally 2 goals in the first period and not score until the OT winner. Thomas Vanek scored his 13th goal of the year, this one coming on the power play. The Wings have the NHL's worst power play, scoring a dismal 11.3% on the man advantage. The Wings will be in the nation's capital to play the Washington Caps on Thursday. The Pistons welcome the LA Lakers tonight to the Palace of Auburn Hills as part of a special ceremony for the final season at the Palace. Pistons legend Isaiah Thomas. That's right, Zeke. He will be honored at the half. He will share his favorite memories of the Palace, a place where he earned 2 NBA Finals championships. Remember, though, they played in the Silverdome for a bit, won Finals MVP, and was named to the All-NBA first team, not one, not two, but 3 times. A fitting game to be honored because Thomas and the Bad Boys won the 1989 NBA Finals over Magic Johnson and the Lakers. Now, both teams are coming off a win and ranked 4th in their respective divisions. The Pistons currently sit as the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference with a record of 24-28.
Well, you know, I knew I would be on the gold medal podium, but like I said, when I won the Olympic gold medal when I was 17, I didn't really feel like they gave me a lot of, you know, recognition for it. So I was like, I want to let people know and let it be remembered that I am a two-time.
Two-time. That's right. Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter. Two-time Olympic champ Shields will be making history on March 10th. Mark down that date on your calendars. On that day, she will become the first female professional boxer to headline a show on a premium network. Shields will headline a Showbox, which is the new generation card on Showtime, at the MGM Grand in Detroit. At 21 years of age, Shields is the only U.S. boxer, male or female, to win 2 gold medals in the Olympics in 2012 in London and 2016 in Rio de Janeiro. She will fight for the first time under her old coach, Jason Crutchfield. That's right, Jay Crutch, who helped her through a good chunk of her amateur career. Shields believes that she will go down as the greatest female boxer of all time, quote, being the best woman to put on a pair of gloves, end quote. She will face Hungary's Slavia Sunset in a 6-round super middleweight bout. How cool is that? Congratulations to Carisha Shields. We may even apply for a press pass for that one. That would be really cool to cover. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin WKAR. I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State falling to the Michigan Wolverines on the road last night by 29 points. What is wrong with this team right now? Before we dive into that, though, I want to open the mic of our current sports engineer, Isaac Constance, who is a native of Louisiana. And I want to sort of just give a lot of thoughts and prayers to that part of our country, which is under a state of emergency due to tornadoes causing heavy damage and devastation in the South. Louisiana currently under a state of emergency. Thoughts and prayers. I saw this, Isaac, when I was out in Arizona. I saw the pictures. I saw the videos, and it immediately touched my heart. A lot of people in the airport down in L.A. at LAX were talking about it, and you being born and bred down South in Louisiana, I know yet again another situation. I mean, we could go on and on about what that part of our country has gone through. I mean, Hurricane Katrina is the one that vividly stands out, right? But when I saw this story, I wanted to give you the chance to just speak, just talk about it.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, New Orleans is a resilient city. They're resilient people, I think. That has been documented already. But I've got a lot of friends in the East. And, you know, it's just a little bit too reminiscent for all of us, I think, to see houses torn apart. Wooden books, I mean, just wooden planks scattered, strewn across the streets. You've got roofs that collapsed, that closed in on people that were trapped in their houses. So, you know, all you can do is pray for them right now. There will be relief efforts, I'm sure, but there were a lot of efforts across the community recently to try to help them rebuild, and there have been a lot of good vibes and messages going out across Facebook, Twitter, phone calls, wherever it might be. And just to let people know up here, I mean, it does count. It does matter to us New Orleanians, us Louisianians, all of us in the Gulf Coast region when people do reach out and let their sympathies be known. So I really appreciate all the kind thoughts so far, and I'm certainly praying and hoping for my friends in New Orleans East as well that all of them are okay and their communities remain intact.
Is your family good, Isaac? Just want to throw
my
it out.
My family's
there.
Good.
Okay.
Thankfully.
Gotcha. We are thinking about Louisiana. With that, let's start the show.
Like a bunch of freshmen against a bunch of juniors and seniors, and then give them credit. They had a purpose. They came out. As disappointing as it is, I swear to you, I told my team at the pregame, y'all had the best week of practice. And I said, the last step you have to take to become a good team or a real good team is, can you take practice to a game? We did not take practice to a game. They practiced hard. They practiced well. They were, couldn't have been prouder of the week they had. Couldn't have been more disappointed in a couple guys in the game. The turnovers are a joke, and that all should fall on me. So don't even bother ripping them. Just look at me, because it's been an ongoing thing all year. Has not changed. And, you know, I'm disappointed in a way. A couple guys, you know, went in the first time or started the game. We had some things set up that were wide open in our minds. And we just did not run it right. But it really did look to me like give Walton credit. I think he's playing the best basketball of his career. I think this game was the most important thing in his life, and that's what it's got to be. And I don't blame our freshmen for that. I just don't think they understand the intensity level.
Voice of Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Again, ladies and gents, boys and girls, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, back after 2 days of, well, I guess you could say I've been absent for 2 days of radio, but I've been in Arizona since Friday night. And, you know, and I was chatting with engineer Isaac Constance about this. I'm running off fumes right now, man. I'm a bit jet lagged, so bear with me throughout this hour. It was a crazy trip. Crazy trip. I was out there on Arizona State University's campus talking with the NABJ chapter out there, the National Association of Black Journalists chapter out there. Great time. I got a chance to link up with two of my best friends. They're like brothers to me. Johnny and Will, we all, you know, so I guess it's like business and pleasure mix. We had a great time out there, and glad to be back, though. But coming back, you know, my mom is a flight attendant for Delta Airlines. So for me and the rest of the fam, we fly standby. And both flights coming back yesterday, one at 7 a.m., one at 12 p.m. at Phoenix Airport. Both flights did not have room for little old me. That's right, on a Tuesday. So I got to the airport at 5 a.m. You know, the flight I was previously scheduled to get on was at 7 a.m. That didn't work. So they pushed me to 12. That didn't work. So I'm at the airport from 5 to 2, and I had to change up my plans, and I had to fly from Arizona to Los Angeles, California. I had a 7-hour layover at LAX, and then, so I flew out 10:30 p.m. LA time, which is like, that's 1 a.m. here in Michigan, right? And it's a 5-hour flight, flew 5 hours, slept most of the flight, got here at 6 a.m. in Detroit, and then drove from Detroit to Lansing. So right now, I usually chug coffee each and every Current Sports, and right now I'm chugging Red Bull, which I rarely do, but it's getting me by right now. Thank goodness for energy drinks. So I'm going to try to bring a lot of energy, like I always try to do each and every weekday here. The number to call if you want to be a part of our show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, and we start by addressing the big loss at the hands of the Wolverines for Michigan State, the Spartans, who, if you remember, defeated U of M less than 9 days ago, 70-62 on January 29th, to be exact, right here in the friendly confines of East Lansing, had that two-game win streak and five-game win streak against the Wolverines completely snapped, broken, disintegrated, eradicated. Last night, it was bad. I watched that game at the airport at LAX. Thank goodness for technology. Thank goodness for my laptop. And I just couldn't believe how things panned out from the very beginning of that game. That loss tied for the worst ever for Izzo against the Wolverines. It matched his second meeting against U of M during his debut season as head coach on February 27th of 1996. That is the last time that Tom Izzo has been beaten like this against the Maize and Blue. And a lot of credit goes to the Michigan Wolverines. I mean, you know, people would text me and say, "Yeah, what are your thoughts on this game coming up?" And I really thought that, you know, looking at that first game, you had Zach Irvin, who wasn't healthy, Zach Irvin who had the flu. I really thought that Zach Irvin was going to make a tremendous difference in this game. And to be honest, it wasn't Zach Ervin. It was just the entire team of Michigan. And if there was a name that really stood out on that Michigan roster, it's the same name that stood out the first time the Spartans played. That being Derek Walton Jr., who has been just a stud for the Wolverines. The kid can ball. Just straight up ball. Looking at the numbers real briefly here. You look at Derek Walton Jr., and I mentioned it in our headliners, he had 20 points, 8 assists, 5 boards, one of the best rebounding guards in the nation. But you look at the collective effort here. How about Muhammad Abdur-Rahman, right? 16 points for him. He was great. Mo Wagner, 19 points for him. 6 boards, 2 steals, 2 assists. Great game from him. I mean, this was a collective effort. Duncan Robinson coming off the bench for U of M. 10 points for him. But it wasn't the offensive numbers that got me in this game. It was how in tune, how in sync the Michigan Wolverines were defensively. And defense and Michigan couldn't go in the same sentence at the very beginning of the year. One of the worst defensive teams in the nation statistically. But they came out and stifled Michigan State left and right. I mean, it was really mind-blowing. And you look at how the stats panned out, and I mentioned this to our current sports production assistant, Connor Clark, who was in the his house to witness that game, who covered that game, who was in the locker room talking to a few players. I'm going to invite Connor to the show in just a moment here. I was chatting with Connor about this. If you were to tell me that Michigan State, after the first half, would have shot close to 60%, I would have said, that's a blowout. Michigan State is clearly blowing out U of M. But I just couldn't believe when you looked at the halftime numbers. I mean, Michigan shot over 70% from the field. Not to mention the turnovers for Michigan State. I mean, U of M, you know, you're shooting 70% from the field, 21 of 28 from the floor. And Michigan State at the half alone had 12 turnovers. U of M turned those 12 turnovers into 22 points. Yeah, that's how you lose a game, even if you're knocking on the door of 60% shooting from the floor. Total, Michigan State turned the ball over 21 times. Those 21 giveaways turned into 30 points for the Maize and Blue. That cannot happen. In that first half, just watching Izzo on the sidelines, I was praying for the brother's health. He was losing it. It was a 32-10 run to end the first half for Michigan. How about that buzzer-beating three to end things, right? I can only imagine what the atmosphere was like in Chrysler Center, but through my headphones in the airport, I could hear the crowd just going, as I like to call it, insane in the membrane. Wow. I'm going to get to the Nick Ward trip in just a moment. So I know many of you have thoughts on that. But right now, I do want to invite Connor Clark to the show. He was at the Chrysler Center to witness that game. First off, Connor, how you feeling, my man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Always. Connor, just kind of take us through what you saw in that game. And you mentioned, when we were chatting earlier this morning, you mentioned how the very start just set a bad tone for the Spartans moving forward.
Oh, it was pathetic to start out. I mean, Tom Izzo, I mean, it's very popular with a lot of sports to have your first couple plays scripted. So you come into a game, you have a general idea what you want to do. You know, it's very common. And the first four plays, they usually... possession right there. You get third one and Cassius gets ripped. There's, you know, it just keeps adding up. And that's what, you know, you see all of those turnovers, they're just leading to layups down the other end. I mean, you're going to shoot 75% up there. Yeah, they're making some tough shots. You got to make shots, but they were getting so many just easy layups over time. Back forth, the one that just sticks into my head all the time. Josh Langford takes 2 steps over half court, gets a little pressure to him, and it's ripped right from him down for Wagner the other way for a layup. Like, right. That's inexcusable. You're 2 steps over half court, and you're getting that pressure, and it's going right through it. It was inexcusable, and it was a joke. It was a total joke with handling the ball and handling the pressure. And talking to Tom afterwards, one big thing that he hinted on was just, you know, they they played, Michigan played like they were seniors, and, you know, Michigan State really played like they were freshmen, and that they didn't really understand the rivalry. And with about 45 seconds left in the second half, you know, they called a timeout, and the whole crowd's given the little brother chant, you know, classic, as you see in the rivalry game when someone's on them, giving the little brother chant. And
Izzo wanted them to remember that, didn't he?
Tom goes, yeah, perfect teaching moment. Tom just goes, like, listen to it. If you don't know the rivalry now, now you know it. Because a lot of those guys, I mean, Cassius and Miles, they're from the state of Michigan, but, you know, Miles still played well. It didn't seem like they understood the rivalry. You know, they're young, they're still trying to piece it together, but, wow, they were not on all cylinders. They weren't on anything at all. They were so flat.
And that's the thing. You know, I think a lot of people that are, when evaluating this team, just from a Michigan State basketball brand perspective, they look at a game like that and say, how in the world can this happen? You know, this would never happen in the past, right? But a lot of people forget how young this team is. You know, these are still young pups we're talking about. You know, and playing on the road and dealing with that adversity, playing a rival like Michigan, you better believe that they were going to come out with more intensity than they did in that first meeting here at the Breslin Center. And that was the big thing for me. Just looking at how much more in tune defensively the Wolverines were. They were diving for loose balls. Just gritty. Michigan was more gritty, and this is something that you don't normally say. Michigan State got out-toughed in this game. Yeah. And that is something that Tom Izzo teams, that usually does not happen. Michigan was the tougher team in this game. And that comes with having a lot of freshmen, to be honest. I mean, they just weren't there from a mental aspect, Isaac.
Well, when you brought me onto the show at first, I thought it was going to be to ridicule me, actually, for my pick. So I really appreciate the sincere gesture.
As Fred Human from Channel 6, he's always tell me, man, predictions are for losers, all right?
True.
Predictions are all about luck, but go ahead.
But anyway, Michigan State, the thing is, there's a difference between a rivalry game at home as freshmen and a rivalry game away. I always say, don't get too high, because then you get so low. And that's where the Spartans went after this game. I thought coming in, MSU would win this one, riding all the momentum, things like that. The thing is, momentum is a fickle friend. And last night, it was not a friend whatsoever of the Spartans. You saw Michigan tear the Spartans apart in every statistical category. That right. could really be broken down into a multitude of things. But Duncan Robinson hitting that three to end the half. You've got Cassius Winston on a routine play. He's setting it back up, backing out of the play currently, steps out of bounds while dribbling backwards. Those types of plays don't happen in a routine practice or a routine game. Those are rivalry game moments when the opponent, their fans, they're in your head. And that's what happened to MSU last night. You know, it's a learning moment. It's not to say they can't rebound, but at the same time, it was more or less an embarrassing night for Sparty, just how they weren't able to rebound whatsoever. They weren't able to come back from the initial blows that they took in that game. And, you know, it was over before it started.
Yeah,
that was true.
Yeah, you can say that again. And now, you know, there's a few big questions being asked by multiple Spartan fans out there. Number one being, what are the chances this team makes the NCAA tournament? I'm seeing that question left and right. I think we've been seeing that question throughout much of this season for the Spartans. And also, a lot of people chatting about the Nick Ward trip. And, you know, it's a moment that when I saw on television, I said, no, he didn't do that on purpose, did he? And I went back. I watched it like five different times, and Twitter blew up. As soon as it happened, everybody's tweeting about it and giving their thoughts and opinions on it. And you see Ward, you know, a timeout is called. You see Nick Ward approaching the bench, if you will, right? No pun intended there. Approaching the bench. And Mo Wagner is crossing paths. This happens all the time with players when a timeout happens, right? And it didn't look like Nick meant to time it that way. It just happened to go that way, right? And he trips him. And Mo Wagner goes falling to the floor. The referees get involved in tech. They issue a tech to Nick Ward. And as the game went on, you know, you started to see, you didn't see Nick play a lot in that first half. What I did see, though, was Tom Izzo just drilling Nick Ward on the bench. And, you know, just from a logical perspective here, when addressing that moment and then looking at Nick Ward being reamed by Tom Izzo on the bench as Michigan goes on this incredible run to end the first half, a 32-10 run to be exact. while Nick is on the bench. You know, it looked like Izzo was saying, "You, this is what you're costing your team when you do something stupid like that." Now, again, that isn't what happened, because this is what Tom Izzo had to say during the post-game press conference addressing the Nick Ward trip.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet. One of my guys saw it. If he tripped him, you know, it's the most unexcusable thing there was. I'm not dealing with that. So he's gonna hear about that. But from what I saw, and Wagner can be a pain in the butt too. I mean, so let's not kid each other here about what goes on. You know, went on at our place too. So you know, but the experienced guy got the inexperienced guy, and unexcusable if Nick did any of that. Unexcusable. Nice try, Matt.
First off, how great is the ending to that, right? Matt, as soon as you asked the controversial question, right, what about the Nick Ward trip? Matt tried to wrap that press conference up real quick. I can only imagine what that was like, Connor. I mean, any more questions? And then Izzo Chuck was like, yeah, nice try, Matt. Come on, man. So I thought that was pretty funny to end that snippet. But, yeah, you know, Izzo talked about it. He didn't know. He doesn't know if it was intentional. It's hard to draw conclusions when seeing that video. For me, I tweeted out last night that I thought it probably was intentional, because I think that if it wasn't, you know, Nick Mann would have ran to him and said, "Oh, my bad, brother," or shown some sign, emotional sign of, "Oh, my bad." I just saw Nick just as soon as Mo fell to the ground, just say, "I'm keeping it moving. Let me go."
No, there was no penitence. Yeah, there was there was no apology.
There was no shock.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So
the other thing is too, basketball players, they cross lines all the time.
Right.
You do it in street ball. You do it in practice, no matter what it is.
Exactly.
And if you're frustrated at somebody, just a typical level, or if you want to be like, "I'm Mr. Tough Guy," all that, you bump shoulders. That's the basic sign of aggression, or at least hostility. Tripping is a different level. That does not happen on your average basketball play.
Right. I thought it, you know, looking at it, and I was just looking to see if Nick, if there was any sort of like, oh my bad, or, you know, something like that, type of reaction. I didn't see that. So I thought maybe it was personal. You know what I mean? Maybe he was trying to do it on purpose. What did you see from that, Connor?
Well, at first we were all, you know, guys, when we were sitting up in the press, we're looking at each other like, what happened? Because they're just kind of going to the bench. We're all looking down at our laptops, trying to, you know, just whether we're working on stories or something. And everyone's just coming, you know, what happened? Like, he tripped him and things like that. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Nick did it. I mean, it's a frustrating time. You're getting blown out, and that's the first thing that's going to happen is you're getting frustrated. You're passionate about the game. Everyone, of course, wants to win.
Mm.
No one's going in there, you know, happy about they're getting stomped.
Right,
but they are.
It's an emotional moment for sure. Yeah,
and you know, Nick Ward's, he's a passionate player. I mean, he played hard the second half. You know, he did his best out there. You know, they were just getting crushed. There's nothing he could do about it. So it wouldn't surprise me if he just, you know, like, you know, turns his ankle a little bit, you know, sticks the toe out, and, you know, he catches him. It wouldn't surprise me. And yeah, that's kind of comes with the territory, being the older experienced guy. You go down with it, you know. Flopping is classic. I couldn't tell if it's a flop or not, but that's a classic basketball thing now, whether that happened or not. But it gets the better of them. It is inexcusable. You can't have that, but it comes with experience. It comes with the gamesmanship and sportsmanship of the game.
Right. And you know, it's funny because I'm looking on Twitter, and you know, the immediate comparison is to, of course, what is taking place in the past when it comes to Duke's own Grayson Allen and his tripping antics in the past. Just players, just stop tripping. Stop tripping, all right? It's getting ridiculous now. 517-355, figuratively and literally, right?
Yeah, seriously.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Sag Nasty, Saginaw on. Mike, what's up, man?
How you doing there, L. Myers? Let me comment on this pop culture item. You know, you heard a world star hip-hop.
Of course.
And the guy died.
Yes.
He died a couple weeks ago.
I saw that, yes.
The originator of that world star hip-hop, because they got it on MTV right after your show go off the air.
And you know what?
So
and World Star is a catch-22 for me, because there is certainly some tomfoolery on there that I don't approve. But it's a huge media form, I will say that. And, yeah, the founder, genius idea. Genius idea to start up a site
really
like that.
It really was a genius idea. He just... He just formulated the idea. And what I want to tell you is about Michigan State. This is a great learning, a learning teaching tool and great learning experience for all of them, because you know what? That goes to show you sometimes in life you're not always going to be on top. You're not always going to win. Or if you don't give out your best effort, you know what's going to happen to them. So this is it's an educational thing, too.
Certainly.
It's very educational, because I think about LeBron James and what he's going back and forth with Charles Barkley and certain things. He doesn't deal with controversy very – he deals with it, but he doesn't deal with it like he should. You know, I mean, when Draymond do something that we don't approve of, it's like he can deal with it much better than LeBron did. But what I want to talk to you about is Miles Bridges to me. Miles Bridges got all the talent, but it just seemed like it would help him to be more of a practice harder on defense. You know, I don't know if that's probably going to come along as time goes on. He's been hurt, and I understand that. But he has to give, you know, put full effort into the defensive end. Well, here's what I got to say, though. Michigan did play a great game, man. You know,
give him credit. Give him credit, right.
Yeah, because when they played UCLA, I don't know if you've seen that game. When they was playing UCLA
in the first half,
they stuck with UCLA. They didn't. But the difference between then and there was they didn't play UCLA defensively like they should have, and they wind up getting beat soundly in the second quarter. So I got to give – you know what? I mean, what come along from Michigan is Derrick Walton. I never thought Derrick Walton in my right mind would play like that, man. I never did. What's your opinion on it?
And, Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, brother. And yet Derrick is just a dynamic guard. You know what I like about Derrick is he's tough. He'll take it to the rack. Derrick also, though, knows how to when you look at him as a point guard, Derrick is the perfect point guard, because he picks and chooses his spots when it comes to scoring, but he also knows how to rally the troops and get others involved. And that's what I love about him. And he also rebounds. For him to be a guard at that size, to pick and choose his spots and know where the ball is going to bounce, and his rebounding skills are off the charts. He's just the perfect collegiate point guard. I love his game. And Izzo mentioned in the first time they played him just how, you know, that's the reason why he recruited Derrick Walton. Derrick Walton can do those types of things. But also, you got to give credit to Michigan, because I thought that Michigan, when they're shooting that well, especially from behind the arc, they can compete with anybody. But Michigan's defense, I mean, how many backdoor cuts did we see in that game, Connor? I mean, left and right, you saw guys getting beat backdoor, right? All the time.
Plus, it was, and you know, they had that too. They just had basic back screens, set it up from a guy from the wing, cut all the time just for easy layups, and there was no communication on defense at all. They had no idea the guy was just slipping right by him all the time for easy layups.
Exactly. It's hard to get a read on this team right now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll continue to take your calls on the Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball game from last night. As we proceed, we will bring up a projected starter for the Michigan State football team next year who has decided to call it quits on the gridiron. We will also invite to the show our dear friend Max Gunn, newly hired broadcast and communication assistant for the Altoona Curve, Pittsburgh Pirates AA affiliate. That and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just dedicated that first segment to addressing, of course, the Michigan State men's basketball loss at the hands of rival Michigan last night at the Chrysler Center. I want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. Before we bring on our guest and continue to take your calls, of course, Connor Clark, Current Sports production assistant, as well as Current Sports engineer Isaac Constance. They join me on, of course, this discussion concerning the Michigan State men's basketball loss last night. And Connor, I want to throw this at you first. What was the locker room like? And which players did you talk to? What did they have to say about what took place?
Well, you know, I first walked in there and I talked to Cassius. And Cassius, in general, every time you talk to him, whether it's a win or a lose, he's always calm-headed. You know, he's upset, but he's not demonstrative at all. You don't get any big things out of him ever. Mm. Kind of like Nick Ward, you know, big guys give the two-word sentence and done. You know, Cassius will give you something long-winded, but it's very monotone all the time. And when I went over to Tum Tum, is when I really saw some emotion of his head down and how he was just upset because he realizes that the seniors don't get another shot of the Wolverines in that building. That was their last chance to go out there. And Alvin played as hard as he could. And, you know, MVD got in there for a little bit. But, you know, that was just a complete meltdown. And they have to live with that now. And Tom was saying, you know, I get one more year here. This isn't about me. This is about the seniors. And it's tough because the freshmen don't always get that. Miles alluded to it, but they don't really take hold of that. They don't come into that game and they say, hey, this one's for the seniors, mm-hmm. because they're still trying to find themselves. And it's tough when your senior class isn't your leading in points and, you know, leading in rebounds and everything, and your freshman class does all the production.
Right.
It's hard for them to really see, hey, we have to come out here because this one's for the seniors.
That's very well put, Connor. And that's typical Tom, right? Always thinking about others. That's a testament to his true leadership for this Michigan State men's basketball team. Isaac, how big is the bubble for the Michigan State Spartans right now?
I think bubble is starting to burst a little bit. I know
you
it's one
so?
Of those things that maybe you spike it, but this is a team where they've got three games remaining against the top 25 in the Big Ten regular season conference play alone. I'm not saying they're out of it yet, but currently my prediction, I wouldn't be feeling too hot about the Spartans.
Connor, you got a different take on that?
Yeah, I do. I wrote a column the other day and I talked about how they're going to have these games. You know, they play Michigan again. You know, they had that. You know, you get your loss, but then they're going to get Iowa. They'll get Ohio State again.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get Illinois away, so that won't be as tough for them. And your three, you know, if they do lose to all those top 25 teams, it's not as big of a hit because I think people kind of expect them to not win them. I don't expect them at all to, you know, beat Purdue on the road
mm-hmm.
after last time. They just don't match up well. You know, Wisconsin's always fundamentally sound. And, you know, Maryland, they've been overlooked the whole year. Everyone kind of forgot Melo Trimble. Still balls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he does so a lot. Everyone's kind of just like, oh, yeah,
Maryland would fill a Penn State yesterday. Was that?
Yeah.
Wow. I can't get around. You know,
time.
I want to say there is one team, though, that is just steadily trucking along, and that's being Wisconsin. Wisconsin is probably the most consistent out of the teams in the Big Ten. I didn't expect Penn State, though, to knock off Maryland yesterday. I had to do a double take when I saw that. But I think that I'm bumping the brakes right now. I think there are still opportunities left here on the schedule for Michigan State to you know, up that resume a few notches. Because, you know, coming into that game last night, I saw that ESPN had Michigan State projected if the tournament was to start right then before that game, they would be an eighth seed. Who knows, though? Who knows what's going through the heads of the committee? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is a dear friend of the show and is making some big moves, I tell you. Max Gunn, newly hired broadcast and communication assistant for the Altoona Curve. That is the AA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. First off, Max, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Al Martin, man, what's going on? Great to be here. Thank you for having me. But I think a better question is, how are you doing, man? You, I saw, were hanging out in Arizona over the weekend,
yeah.
And then something happened. You ended up in Los Angeles before coming back home. What in the world went on there?
Max, I'm only getting through this show by the grace of right now an energy drink. And I never drink these things. They are so toxic to your body. But it's helping me right now, as you can tell, probably by my energy on today's show. But, man, I'm facing some tough jet lag. I got my two flights that were going to Detroit got booked, and I fly standby. So they got booked. They had to push me on.
I see.
Yeah, so I had to go to L.A. and then fly on a red eye from L.A. to Detroit. Got here at 6 a.m. and drove straight to Lansing with the pup. So it's been pretty crazy. Yeah, yeah. But thanks for asking, dude, and congratulations on the new gig. And I first want to start by asking you, Max, I mean, you're truly living, and I always say this when it comes to minor league baseball broadcaster, that schedule is pretty nuts. You know, I used to talk with Jesse Goldberg Strassler, you know, voice of the Lansing Lugnuts here locally, about the travel schedule and always being on the bus. But you are truly living the life of a quote-unquote journeyman, you know, being a minor league baseball broadcaster. You've been doing it for some time now. How are you enjoying it?
I'm loving it, man. This is my third season doing it, second year in professional ball. The first year was in the Northwoods League, which is a collegiate wood bat league in the Midwest. I was actually in Battle Creek during that time. So last year I got my break in professional ball with the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes out in the California League. That's the Advanced A affiliate for the LA Dodgers. And now I'm lucky enough to break into a Double A market, being with the Altoona Curve, the Double A affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. But I'm loving it. It's a grind, like you mentioned. You know, we have a 140-game schedule in about 152 days or so. So it's a heck of a grind, you know, riding the buses. There's not much free time for anything else. You're working long days, oftentimes from around noon to possibly midnight. But, you know, you just got to get through it, and you got to love it, and I certainly do, and that definitely beats working.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Max, again, if you love what you do, you never work another day in your life, and you truly have a passion for this, for sure. In what ways, though, brother, how does this affect the personal life? Because you talked about there's not much time for anything else. I mean, it's got to hinder things when it comes to the fam, right?
It does. It's tough, and you have to try and find that balance, and that's really what the off season is for. But, you know, your family has to understand, and your friends have to understand that, look, during baseball season, for those 6 or 7 months, it's baseball, man. That's your job. That's what you're paid to do. And, you know, I always love it when my friends and family ask me, oh, what are you doing for the 4th of July? What are you doing Memorial Day? Come on over to the house. It's like, what do you think I'm doing on the 4th of July, Memorial Day?
Right.
I'm calling a ball game. I'm at the ballpark. So, you know, sometimes people need to be a little more understanding, or they just forget. But, you know, it's tough, and you just have to find that balance. And, just hope that it all works out. So far it has, so I'm very lucky.
Well, the grind is certainly paying off as you, of course, embark on this new gig with the Altoona Curve. Max, what transpired that led to this opportunity for you in your career?
So I'll tell you a quick story about that, Al. I went to the baseball winter meetings in the first week of December. I've been going the last couple of years, and they have a big, big job fair there, and it's a big networking event for all things baseball, whether it be minor league or the major league level. It's a big networking conference. So I went there, I met with some teams, had some leads, but nothing was really clicking. Nothing was really working out. So I had interviewed with a team a couple of weeks ago over the phone, and they ultimately chose not to hire me. They went in a different direction. But I said to the gentleman, as we were getting off the phone, I said, hey, I know that you're going in a different direction here, but do you have anybody I can call that may be looking for somebody to call some ball games this year? So he gave me the name of my now boss in Altoona. He goes by the name of Trey Wilson. You probably know him, Al. He was working with Jesse in Lansing just a couple of years ago as his assistant.
Really?
So I called up Trey. Yeah, that's right. I called up Trey, and I said, listen, I was referred to you by this guy. Do you have anything available? And he said, you know what? I wish you called me a little bit earlier. We actually have an offer out to somebody right now, and we're waiting to see if he accepts. So we talked a little bit back and forth while I was on the phone with Trey. He got a call in on the other line from the person that he offered the job to. So he put me on hold, comes back a couple minutes later. He says, Max, he took the job. Fortunately, we don't have anything. He's accepted. So I said, okay. We said goodbye. You know, we ended on very good terms, hung up the phone. I kid you not, 3 hours later, Trey calls me back and he says, Max, the person that just accepted a couple hours ago suddenly bowed out. He can't do it anymore for whatever reason. He told me he's sorry. He can't do it. Would you like to interview right now? So I said, absolutely. So here we are. We spoke for about 2 hours on the phone right at that time. And he gave me the whole rundown on the position. And the next morning he called me and offered me the job. And here I am. So you never really know how these things are going to work out. And the important lesson in that is, you know, and again, I got this job based on somebody that turned me down for a position. So that's why you truly never know where you will get these jobs, how you will find them. And it's very important to remember, you know, don't be bitter, don't burn bridges at people that turn you down, because you never know what can happen. And in this case, it worked out for me.
I think that is such a great message, especially for students that we come across and production assistants that we work with throughout each and every semester here on Current Sports. Because, you know, we've chatted about, you know, my opportunities here and how I ended up at WKAR. And, it sounds very similar. You just never know where this whole career thing is going to take you, my man. So tell us just a bit. I know. Again, you're still getting used to the tradition and history when it comes to the Curve. But where are they located, and how many games will you be doing? Just kind of take us through the gist of the job.
Sure. So they're located in central Pennsylvania. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Pittsburgh, right in the middle of the state there. It's about 3.5 hours from Philly, which is on the other side of the state. And then it's only about two and a half hours from the Baltimore, D.C. area. So it's a pretty good spot as far as where it's located. And I'm told, I haven't been there yet. I'm moving there at the end of the month for the season. But I'm told that they've got the nicest ballpark in the Eastern League. So I'm very excited to see that place. It seats over 7,000 people, whereas last year when I was in Rancho Cucamonga, the ballpark only held around 4,000 people. So it's going to be a little bit bigger operation, which I'm excited about to get going. They're going to have me calling the pre- and post-game show for all 140 games on the Altoona Curve Radio Network. I'll also do some play-by-play for some select games as well. And I'll be doing media relations duties also, Al. You know how important writing is in this business. So
that's
I'll be
right.
doing a lot of writing, a lot of press releases, a lot of post-game recaps, and a lot of features on our players and staff, things like that. So that's sort of what I'll be doing here this next upcoming season, and I'm very excited about the opportunity.
Unbelievably cool. Max Gunn, newly hired broadcast and communication assistant for the Altoona Curve. Again, the AA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Before we get you out of here, Max, just brief chatter on just I want to kind of bring a local feel to the conversation here. Again, you spending time here in Michigan, you know sort of the gist of things when it comes to the Detroit Tigers. What are your thoughts on this upcoming season for the Detroit Tigers? And do you think any major moves are going to be made before they open the year?
I don't think any moves are going to be made before they open the year. I think your best bet there is the trade deadline, depending on where they are. If they're obviously not doing good, they should absolutely sell. But if they're right there, they may have to buy as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sort of interesting. We've never really had an offseason like this for Tigers fans where they really just barely did anything. You know, they signed Alex Avila to be the backup catcher, him coming back to Detroit, playing under his father, the GM. And then they made a small trade for a center fielder, Mikey Matuk, who is going to battle for some center field spots. But that's really it. It's sort of what they didn't do this offseason. Everybody said, and the Tigers general manager included, Al Avila said, you know, we're going to slash payroll. We're going to trade some guys. And he didn't really do that besides trading away Cameron Maybin to the L.A. Angels. You know, they kept Ian Kinsler. They kept J.D. Martinez. They kept Justin Verlander. So you've got all these guys coming back. And if healthy on paper, they've got a pretty good team. You know, you have to remember, J.D. Martinez missed 7 weeks last year with a broken elbow. Mm-hmm. Jordan Zimmermann was off and on with a neck and shoulder problem. So if you get these guys back and healthy, they could very possibly click the way that they were supposed to last year. But, you know, you just never know. Baseball is such a crapshoot. Looking at it on paper, you know, the Cleveland Indians, the defending AL champs, of course, have the best team, especially after adding Edwin Encarnacion. So it's going to be an uphill battle for the Tigers for sure, but games are not won on paper. Just ask the Tigers that in 2008. So it'll be an interesting season. You know, Shane Green is also a wild card for me. He was sort of splitting between starting and relieving last year. Now they have him as a reliever only, and I really think that's going to help him. I'm a big Shane Green fan. I really like his stuff. And, you know, you got to imagine how tough it is for a pitcher to have to bounce back and forth between starting and relieving. Now he knows that he's dead set on coming out of the bullpen. So I think that'll help him as well. So, you know, they certainly do have some good pieces, question marks as well. But if they all stay healthy, I think they've got a pretty good shot to at least grab a wild card spot in the American League this year.
And I tell you what, Max, I mean, man, we're what, like just weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting for spring training. Is that right?
Yeah, that's all.
Wow. Time flies, man, I tell you. And just one more question before you hit our final break here, Max. How cool was it to see what the Chicago Cubs were able to pull off in the World Series and making history?
That was awesome. You know, obviously that hasn't happened in a very, very long time, over a century. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool to see that whole process hang out, you know, play out, rather. I was watching the Cubs. I was in L.A. when the Cubs were playing the Dodgers in the NLCS. I was working for the Dodgers Media Relations Department throughout the postseason. And, you know, just seeing their confidence, seeing how they work, seeing them take batting practice, it was just unbelievable to watch. And remember, the Cubs are such a young team. You know, they've got a couple veterans like they had last year and David Ross and John Lester and Lackey. But, you know, for the most part, they're a very, very young bunch. And the fact that they were able to do that was just simply sensational. They were the best team last year in the regular season, and it showed throughout the postseason. You know, they went through that little hitting slump there in the NLCS, but they busted right out of it. They've got the best manager in the business, and that was just really, really fun to watch.
I tell you what, that last game in the World Series was one for the ages. Probably the best baseball game I've ever seen. Max.
Oh, for sure.
You, without a doubt. Max Gunn, newly hired broadcast and communication assistant for the Altoona Curve. Max, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations. I know you're going to do a great job out there, my friend.
Thank you so much, Al. I appreciate it. Always love coming on. We'll talk soon.
You got it. The one and only Max Gunn. He's fantastic, guys. All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will briefly put a bow on this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have just 2 minutes left in the show. Let's take a call from one of our favorite callers, Ray from Indiana. Ray, I have not talked to you since your boy, your man, 50 grand, Kurt Warner, has been inducted, or will be inducted, I should say, into the Football Hall of Fame. How cool is that, Ray? I guess it's not that cool. Oh, there we go. Oh, there he is.
August 3rd to the 7th, they're going to have a special tomorrow night, NFL Network, 8 o'clock for the inductees. There was a couple of stories about Kurt Warner. Did you hear about him?
Hold on, Ray. You're really breaking up on us. I don't know what – where are you at right now? Are you on your cell phone?
No. I just got a regular phone. Let me turn this TV off.
Okay, yeah, turn the TV off. Turn the tube off, my man. All right, we only got 30 seconds, Ray. Repeat that one really briefly.
About Kurt Warner, there's a couple stories. That the guy that knocks on your door, David Baker, he used to play when Kurt Warner played arena football before he made it big in the NFL. He knocks on your door to tell you you're in the Hall of Fame. Ain't that something?
That's pretty cool. Ray, well, I tell you what, call tomorrow because I want to dive more into the Kurt. I have an interesting take on the whole Kurt Warner going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I want to throw it to you. So call tomorrow, okay?
All right, I will, then, buddy.
My man, Ray from Indiana. Take care, folks. See you tomorrow. And be easy, people.